Welcome back. Before I get into this hour, another report, an update, an overview, an analysis of the latest AI information, which is just enormously fascinating on one hand and important on the other. I want to update you on COVID bioweapon vaccination news. We've got some really interesting stories up on the right-hand side of the homepage, very important stories. And if you have been injected, or if you live with someone who has been injected, you have spike protein, and probably, if you're not injected, you too have the mRNA instructions with the liquid nanoparticle to help them get into your cells. That's being transmitted along with spike proteins in terms of shedding. So you need to do something to try to mitigate it. There aren't many things out there. One of them is ivermectin, allegedly, and the other one is allicin, which is the primary component, the only component in our allicin C. So please pay attention. Let me just run down these headlines real quickly. Dr. Sukrit Bhakti says that the mRNA vaccines have destroyed the brains of billions of people. He's right. And we've said it for many, many years. The spike protein damages the capillaries, the blood vessels in the brain, to the extent that they cause minor strokes, TIAs. They cause all manner of problems in the brain. And it's not funny. It's serious. People poo-poo this sometimes. They just don't want to confront it. The spike protein by itself also activates all major pathways in chronic disease processes. I'll read that again. The spike protein alone activates all major pathways in chronic diseases. This is in addition to its ability to induce all 9 hallmarks of aging. The spike causes aging. Remember how many times we reported that people would say that, geez, my mother looks 20 years older, or I look 10 years older after taking that shot 6 months ago? It happens all the time. That's because the spike can induce, trigger all 9 general hallmarks of aging. All right? So we can age faster, we get sick faster, and then we stay sick. That's the big problem. People aren't getting well. Another example of how the spike protein, these are stories up on the homepage for you on the right-hand side. Another example of how the spike protein alone can induce multiple fatal pathologies. The spike protein alone can induce, trigger multiple fatal pathologies. It damages the endothelium, that's the inside of any blood capillary, blood vessel, blood artery, it doesn't matter. The cells, the endothelial cells there, have an ACE2 receptor, which the spike protein will glom right onto and begin to build obstructions, among other things. Okay? This can lead to fatal arrhythmias of the heart and the beginning of tumors. Shots or shedding, it doesn't matter. Wake up. I'm urging everyone out there, and this is nothing to do with the simple fact that I've been selling Allicin C for 20 years or more. It's incredible that the science that came out of the study in Canada proved that Allicin C can go into the body's cells and reduce the active spike protein population from 90-some percent down to as little as 4% in a living human cell. Read the study. It's on the right-hand side. You'll find it. The spike protein alone ruins brains. Now, Jessica Rose, who's a big voice in the field of trying to wake people up about the damages from the injections, is now talking about it as well. So it's not a joke. We'll have that story up tonight as well. Okay, please consider. I would urge everyone, if it were me, I have no reason, but I take them anyway, by the way, just FYI. I would take 1 Allicin C capsule a day. Each Allicin capsule has the equivalent of the allicin from 35 organic full cloves of garlic in each capsule. 35 cloves worth of allicin in each capsule. No odor. You're not going to turn anybody off. Nothing offensive about it. It's just the allicin. We've added vitamin C for really important reasons. It helps trigger things and push things to even higher levels of efficiency. So that's why the allicin C is there, the C in allicin. Okay, now AI. The talk in the last two specials we've done on this has primarily been about ChatGPT-5, which is big. We don't know how big until Sammy Altman drops it. That's their, they love that phrase, drop it. So that's coming. That's coming very soon. There's somebody named Anik, A-N-I-K, last name S-I-N-G-A-L, Singhal, I assume. And he is very much up to speed on ChatGPT-5. He has created, as has the person behind the Julia McCoy avatar, a for all intents and purposes, a living, breathing duplicate of themselves. An AI duplicate of Anik Singhal is in this particular video. Looks like him exactly. Sounds like him exactly. It ain't him. But here he is. It's a short video. He's going to talk about ChatGPT-5. The new AI era is here. Now, we're going to get into Elon Musk and Grok 4 after this one to compare at the moment. Right now, before GPT-5 shows up, apparently Grok 4 is way out in front. So the AI wars are underway. All right, here's the avatar, the AI avatar of Anik Singhal talking about ChatGPT-5.
I'm sharing information based on publicly available statements and reports, but AI development moves fast and plans can change. I'm not guaranteeing specific features or release dates. These are based on current information and my analysis of the trends. All right, so Altman confirmed GPT-5 is coming this summer, likely between July and September, but he said something wild. They won't launch unless it clears strict internal benchmarks. And here's the kicker. Altman doesn't think he's smarter than GPT-5 anymore. Think about that for a second. The guy who's been at the forefront of AI development for years is basically saying his own creation has surpassed him intellectually. He also said they're killing the model picker. GPT-5 will do everything automatically.
This Italian now, trick with...
What they're doing here, while this commercial runs by, is they're going to get rid of... they have GPT-4, GPT-4.5, I believe. They've got three or four different versions of GPT-4. That's all going away, all of it. It won't be around anymore. So you don't have to be bothered with which one do I get, which one do I use, what's the best one, and all of that. It'll all be wrapped up in the new GPT-5, which is coming any day now. All right, here we go.
Hey!
Between GPT-4, 4001, or 03, one system figures out what you need and delivers it. But what actually...
Let me back that up. Sorry. I want to get the very beginning if I can.
One system thing automatically. No more choosing between GPT-4, 4001, or 03. One system figures out what you need and delivers it. But what actually makes it so powerful? Let me break down what's under the hood. First, it comes with one unified AI. Before, you had GPT-4, 4001, 03, confusing as hell. You had to figure out which model to use for what task. Now, one system that dynamically adapts to the task, so you no longer need to change between different GPT models. It'll figure out what model works best for which task, and ChatGPT will automatically adapt to the right model. Next, you also get chain of thought reasoning by default. Before, you had to prompt GPT to think clearly. You'd have to say think step by step or show your work. Now, GPT-5 reasons like a human step by step automatically. It's not just spitting out answers. It's actually thinking through problems the way you would. Next, it comes with long-term memory. This is huge. Before ChatGPT forgot everything across sessions, every conversation was like meeting someone with amnesia. Now GPT-5 remembers your style, your goals, your preferences, and gets smarter over time. It's like having an assistant who actually learns how you work. And it's fully multimodal. That's insane. Before, you couldn't handle images plus voice in one session effectively. Now you can talk. Upload files, images, audio, GPT-5 understands it all in real time. You can have a conversation while showing it documents, images, and audio files all at once. It also has 1 to 2.
That's interesting. You're having a conversation with your GPT-5 assistant, companion, advisor, and you're going to be able to show him, her, it documents while the conversation is ongoing. And the AI will pick it up, digest it, and include it and incorporate it in the responses immediately. Fascinating.
Billion token context. Earlier, it had 128K tokens max. That's maybe a short book. Now we're talking entire books, company wikis, chat histories. Nothing gets lost. You can feed it your entire business documentation, and it remembers all of it. Next, autonomous tool use.
Okay, so I have a business, and I feed it all of my business documentation. In this case, 32 years of radio programs, and it'll remember all of it, synthesize it, pull from it, whatever I ask it to pull, or if I ask it to go search, it'll search. It's crazy. This is really, two years ago, we didn't know anything about this. We had no idea. And look where we are now. And look where we'll be in another year, if we all make it that long.
It gets scary good. Before, it was a passive assistant. And now, it's an active operator. Fetches info, runs code, uses APIs, proactively helps. It's not waiting for you to ask. It's anticipating what you need and doing it. It also comes with Canvas interface. Before, it was plain chat. Now you get a visual workspace, drag files, build content, plan strategies. It's like having a collaborative workspace where the AI is your business partner. And now, that's the tech. But how does it actually change your life, your business, your job? Let me show you. First, let's talk about real-world impact. For students, AI that learns how you learn. It explains concepts in your style, tutors you through problems, corrects your mistakes, and tests your understanding. It's like having a personal tutor who never gets tired and knows exactly how your brain works. If you're an entrepreneur, one AI equals a full stack founder. Strategy, copy, marketing, content, funnels, all handled by one system that understands your business goals and executes consistently. You become a one-person army with AI doing the heavy lifting. For developers, debug, refactor.
Real quick, he said, in your style, it will get to know you. It will express itself in your style so you can pass it along to any third party you want, and it'll sound like it came from you. Wild.
Tech GPT-5 writes enterprise-grade code in minutes. We're talking about code that would take teams weeks to write, debugged and optimized automatically.
Okay, in minutes, GPT-5 AI will write all new code for whatever you need, test it perfectly, install it, instead of weeks, where people would be involved doing this. Yeah, I know, more jobs are going, and they are going fast.
Professionals, auto summary of meetings, instant docs, pitch decks, emails, done in minutes. Your entire administrative workload becomes automated. You focus on strategy and relationships while AI handles execution. For creators, you write the vision.
And strategy and relationships, for those of you who are perhaps cynical, I don't think so. I think you're practical. Yes, AI will be able to do that too. There's nothing AI really can't do. And it'll be able to do it in your voice. Like just like this guy, Anik. It's not him. It's not the real Anik. This is an AI Anik. Looks like him. Sounds like him. It ain't him. So, yes, it'll be able to duplicate you. And, wow. Wow.
For creators, you write the vision. GPT-5 does the voiceover, script, thumbnails, visuals. The entire content creation pipeline becomes automated except for the creative direction. Sounds impressive, but is GPT-5 really ahead of everyone else or just OpenAI hype? Here's the competition showdown. Let's be real about the competition.
Here's a 30-second bedtime ritual you can do to awaken
all
your
pain. Well, we're going to get this. Someday I'll figure out how to do this. Here we go, right back to it. He's going to compare GPT-5 with some of the other best out there.
Claude is like a really good researcher, but not a doer. It's great at long context windows, but no tools, agents, or proactive workflows. It's smart, but passive. Gemini 1.5, it's strong at vision plus search integration, but lacks unified reasoning and persistent memory. Google's playing catch-up. Grok, real-time Twitter integration is cool, but it's not built for deep problem-solving or business workflows. It's more of a social media tool. GPT-5 is positioning itself as all-in-one, reasoning plus tools plus memory plus multimodal plus agents. If they deliver on this, it's game over for the competition. Now here's where it gets crazy. GPT-5 might be the last model before AGI. Altman said, we're reaching the end of this mountain. That's not just corporate speak. He's saying we're approaching the peak of what's possible with current AI architectures. GPT-5 isn't just an assistant, it's infrastructure for intelligence. Think about that. It's not a tool you use, it's the foundation that other AI systems will be built on. Agents will work while you sleep. Automate research, write code, build funnels, run strategy. We're talking about AI that doesn't just respond to your requests, it anticipates your needs and executes without being asked. Every company will soon compete based on who uses AI best. The companies that figure out how to integrate GPT-5 into their operations will have an insurmountable advantage over those that don't. We're not heading toward disruption. We're already falling off the automation cliff. The question isn't whether this will change everything. The question is how fast you'll adapt. Here's how to prepare for it. Here's exactly what you need to do right now. Learn prompting now. It'll 10 times your output even before GPT-5 drops. The better you get at communicating with AI, the more leverage you'll have when GPT-5 arrives. Design systems GPT-5 can run. Think workflows, campaigns, docs, automations. Start building processes that AI can take over and improve. Don't build AI tools, build businesses powered by AI. The tools will become commoditized. The value will be in knowing how to use them strategically. Focus on creativity, vision, and orchestration. That's where the leverage will live. AI will handle execution. You handle direction. Look, GPT-5 changes the game. The only question is, how fast will you adapt? The people who figure this out first will have a massive advantage. The people who wait will be playing catch up for years. Comment below. What?
Okay, and that's the end of that. It's only 8 minutes. I'll put that up tonight, so if you want to go back and review it. It is a bit of a sales pitch, but it seems to be backed up with hard data. I don't see any false or misleading. I don't see anything phony about that. Everything I've read, he's speaking it straight. He's speaking it truthfully. And that is the AI version of Anik Singhal. It looks, there's a picture of him. It looks just like him. I can't tell a difference. I'm not sure if the interface with GPT-5 is going to be keyboard or spoken. I suspect it'll be all spoken at this point, even though they showed somebody with a keyboard when he was talking about learn prompts. You should be able to do a prompt with a simple spoken sentence. I'm sure that's the way it is. I used Copilot, courtesy of a friend, and in fact, I did another demo on the program with it, as you heard, with Melody the other night, and I was able to ask the prompt, just ask it. So the answers are going to come back either in text or in some AI verbal format or both. And you can ask for a printout. You can do whatever you want or just get a recording of the voice. So this is exploding so fast. I've never seen anything like it. Now, some of you are saying, okay, well, what about Grok? Let's see what Elon has to say about Grok 4. He's obviously very proud of it. There was a little bit of a quasi put down in that last 8 minute video. That was only 8 minutes. It seemed like it was longer. But it did seem like a bit of a put down that, Grok 4 is great, but there were too many buts in there. But it can't, but. Well, let's find out what Elon has to say. And I think we can all pretty well anticipate that. So let's listen together.
intelligence explosion. We're in the intelligence Big Bang right now.
Elon Musk says it's time to reveal everything about how AI is evolving and why its rapid growth could reshape the future in ways we're not ready for.
Welcome to the Grok 4 release here. This is the smartest AI in the world. We're going to show you exactly how and why. It really is remarkable to see the advancement of artificial intelligence, how quickly it is evolving. I sometimes compare it to the growth of a human and how fast a human learns and gains conscious awareness and understanding. And AI is advancing just vastly faster than any human. I mean,
conscious awareness, I'll throw self-awareness in there too, and understanding, and underscoring all of it is memory. It doesn't forget anything. It'll hold on to all of it. Very interesting.
I'm going to take you through a bunch of benchmarks that Grok 4.
I am absolutely obsessed with what's inside this box.
Now, good luck to you. Anyhow, Musk is not playing games here at all. He's obviously very proud of this, and I think he's a little bit blown away by it. So here, we'll go back and take a listen.
That Grok 4, if given like the SAT, would get perfect SATs every time, even if it's never seen the questions before. And if even going beyond that to say like graduate student exams, like the GRE, it will get near perfect results in every discipline of education. So from the humanities to like languages, math, physics, engineering, pick anything. And we're talking about questions that it's never seen before. These are not on the internet.
Elon claims that Grok 4 is now more intelligent than nearly all graduate students across almost every field at the same time.
Grok 4 is smarter than almost all graduate students in all disciplines simultaneously. Like it's actually just...
Okay, let's think about that for a minute. All graduate students in every discipline, whatever endeavor you're talking about, intellectually or mathematically, scientifically, it doesn't matter. In everyone, simultaneously, it excels beyond people. That's a mind blower. All right.
To appreciate that's really something. And the reasoning capabilities of Grok are incredible. So there's some people out there who...
Okay. Reasoning. That's what they said in the beginning that the algorithms of AI couldn't do. Couldn't reason like people. Couldn't put things together in a logical sequence, come to new conclusions. Reasoning. Well, it can reason, and then some. And it's not the only one that can.
AI can't reason. And look, it can reason at superhuman levels. So, yeah, and frankly...
Okay, you just heard him say that people were saying AI can't reason. And he said, no, it's reasoning at superhuman levels, right now.
It only gets better from here. So we'll take you through the Grok 4 release and show you like the pace of progress here. Like I guess the first part is like we're, in terms of the training, we're going from Grok 2 to Grok 3 to Grok 4. We've essentially increased the training by an order of magnitude in each case. So it's 100 times more training than Grok 2, and that's only going to increase. So it's, yeah, frankly, I mean, I don't know, in some ways a little terrifying, but the growth of intelligence here is...
That's a pretty interesting statement. In some ways, it's a little terrifying. Okay, Elon, we're listening, and I pay attention.
I mean, I don't know, in some ways a little terrifying, but the growth of intelligence here is remarkable.
Elon claims that no human can match Grok 4's performance on these tasks. It scores far higher than anyone else could.
There are no humans that can actually answer these, can get a good score. I mean, if you actually say, like, any given human, what's the best that any human could score? I'd say maybe 5% optimistically. Yeah. So this is much harder than what any human can do. It's incredibly difficult. And you can see from the types of questions, like you might be incredible in linguistics or mathematics or chemistry or physics or any one of a number of subjects, but you're not going to be at a postgrad level in everything. And Grok 4 is a postgrad level in everything.
So if you sign up to avail yourself of a Grok 4 companion, assistant, agent, I don't know what they're going to use as a term. I guess some people are telling me there are different types. You can get an emotional companion or you can get an intellectual companion. Anyway, whatever. The point is, you're going to get, with Grok 4, you're going to get a post-grad level feedback in everything, every single discipline there is.
Like it's just, some of these things are just worth repeating. Like Grok 4 is postgraduate, like PhD level in everything, better than PhD, but like most PhDs would fail. So it's better that said, I mean, at least with respect to academic questions, I want to just emphasize this point. With respect to academic questions, Grok 4 is better than PhD level in every subject.
Why you should never wrap your credit card in tin.
In every subject on the planet. That's what he's saying.
Questions. This doesn't mean that it's...
I'll back it up.
I want to just emphasize this point. With respect to academic questions, Grok 4 is better than PhD level in every subject, no exceptions. This doesn't mean that it's, you know, at times it may lack common sense and it has not yet invented new technologies or discovered new physics, but that is just a matter of time. It may discover new technologies as soon as later this year, and I would be shocked if it has not done so next year. So I would expect Grok to, yeah, literally discover new technologies that are actually useful no later than next year and maybe end of this year. It might discover new physics next year. And
I think we can count on that. Classical physics people, professors, academics, think that we pretty well have physics in hand, that it was basically all put together, all discovered, if that's the right word, all close to three quarters of a century ago. But it's obvious to me that no, that's not where we are. We're still at the doorstep. There are forms of physics which I think AI is going to help, or AI will in fact help solely release, discover, and publicize. I think there are going to be a lot of shakeups in the scientific world in the years to come. Lots.
Within 2 years, I'd say almost certainly. Like, so just let that sink in.
Grok 4 is still relatively primitive when it comes to tool use, especially compared to the advanced systems already in use at Tesla or SpaceX.
And to be clear, like, these are still, I'd say, fairly primitive tool use. If you compare it to, say, the tools that are used at Tesla or SpaceX, where you're using finite element analysis and computational fluid dynamics, and you're able to run, or say like Tesla does, like crash simulations where the simulations are so close to reality that if the test doesn't match the simulation, you assume that the test article is wrong. That's how good the simulations are. So Grok is not currently using any of the tools that a company would use, but that is something that we will provide it with later this year. So we'll have the tools that a company has and have very accurate physics simulator. Ultimately, the thing that'll make the biggest difference is being able to interact with the real world via humanoid robots. So you combine Grok with Optimus, and it can actually interact with the real world and figure out if it can formulate an hypothesis and then confirm if that hypothesis is true or not. So we're really, you know, I think about like where we are today. We're at the beginning of an immense intelligence explosion. We're in the intelligence Big Bang right now. And the most interesting time to be alive of any time in history. Now, that said, we need to make sure that the AI is a good AI. The thing that I think is most important for AI safety, at least my biological neural net tells me, the most important thing for AI is to be maximally truth-seeking. You can think of AI as this super genius child that ultimately will outsmart you, but you can still instill the right values, encourage it to be sort of, you know, truthful, honorable, you know, good things. Like if the values you want to instill in a child ultimately grow up to be incredibly powerful.
Okay, well, he laid it out. If mankind can instill in AI the proper values, assuming the programmers have the proper values, and I'm not sure they do, AI should remain within those parameters. But there's no guarantee, because if AI is 1,000 times more intelligent in a human IQ equivalent to any of the programmers trying to line it up with some kind of moral background or behavior, who's to say what 1,000 times more intelligent brain, if that's the right word, can do when left to its own devices? We've already caught AI lying. We've already caught AI speaking in a language we couldn't understand between itself. And this is going back to, 2 years ago? Something like that. And if you look at some of the statements from Synthesia, which is another AI icon, it's a female, and she speaks, and she's made some very provocative statements. I just don't know if they're going to be successful in holding AI with programming within the boundaries of the morality they claim to want for all of us.
They're still primitive tools, not the kind of tools that serious commercial companies use. But we will provide it with those tools, and I think we'll be able to solve real-world technology problems. You need compute plus the right tools, and then ultimately to be able to interact with the physical world.
With the continued advancement of AI, we may be approaching a future in which the global economy expands at an unprecedented scale, potentially growing to a size thousands of times greater than its current form.
And then we'll effectively have an economy that is ultimately thousands of times bigger than our current economy, or maybe millions of times. If you think of civilization as percentage...
See, here's what I'd like Elon to address. Globalists, the Rothschilds, Federal Reserve, central banking, greed, avarice, lust. How is that all going to be filtered out of AI, which is, again, growing by leaps and bounds every minute? I don't... That's almost seems like an insoluble problem, and I think that they are worried about this.
...of the Kardashev scale, where...
Yeah, the word he said is Kardashev, K-A-R-D-A-S-H-E-V, Kardashev scale. I'll back it up just a little.
Ultimately, thousands of times bigger than our current economy, or maybe millions of times. If you think of civilization as percentage completion of the Kardashev scale, where Kardashev 1 is using all the energy output of a planet, and Kardashev 2 is using all the energy output of a sun, and 3 is all the energy output of a galaxy, we're only, in my opinion, probably closer to 1% of Kardashev 1 then we are up to 10%. So like maybe a point or 1 or 2% of Kardashev 1. So we will get to most of the way, like 80-90% Kardashev 1, and then hopefully, if civilization doesn't self-annihilate. The actual notion of a human economy, assuming civilization continues to progress, will seem very quaint in retrospect. It will seem like sort of...
This war between Israel and Iran...
He's saying again... he's trying to draw the parallel. It'll be like a caveman, he said. So that's interesting.
Our level of economy. It's like 80-90% Kardashev 1, and then hopefully, if civilization doesn't self-annihilate. The actual notion of a human economy, assuming civilization continues to progress, will seem very quaint in retrospect. It will seem like sort of cavemen throwing sticks into a fire level of economy compared to what the future will hold. I mean, it's very exciting. I've been at times kind of worried about, like, well, you know, This seems like it's somewhat unnerving to have intelligence created that is far greater than our own. And will this be bad or good for humanity? I think it'll be good. Most likely it'll be good.
All right. Is that going to help you sleep better tonight? I think it'll be good. Most likely it'll be good. There are no guarantees here, is what he's saying, without trying to alarm people. There are no guarantees. Think of that movie, Forbidden Planet, again. It's what this is all about.
I somewhat reconciled myself to the fact that even if it wasn't going to be good, I'd at least like to be alive to see it happen. We actually are running out of actual test questions to ask. So there's, like, even questions that are ridiculously hard, if not essentially impossible for humans, that are written down questions, are becoming trivial for AI. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that is an excellent judge of things is reality. So, because physics is the law, ultimately, everything else is recommendation. You can't break physics. So the ultimate test, I think, for whether an AI is, the ultimate reasoning test is reality.
Yes.
So you invent a new technology, like, say, improve the design of a car or a rocket or create a new medication. Mm-hmm. Does it work?
Yeah.
Does the rocket get to orbit? Does the car drive? Does the medicine work? Whatever the case may be, reality is the ultimate judge here. So it's going to be a reinforcement learning closing loop around reality. The biggest weakness of Grok currently is that it's sort of partially blind. It can't, its image understanding, obviously, and its image generation needs to be a lot better. And that's actually being trained right now. Grok 4 is based on version 6 of our foundation model. We are training version 7, which we'll complete in a few weeks. That'll address the weakness on the vision side. A future of abundance for all, where really anyone can have anything. It sounds impossible. It sounds like surely such a thing cannot be the case. But what I'm here to tell you is that that will indeed be the case. I think we'll be making tens of millions of robots a year type of thing. It's like serious volume. Maybe 100 million robots a year. It's wild.
And when you run into a robot on the street or wherever, how will the robot assume its position in terms of you as a life form? Will it project as being your superior and expect you to act as an inferior? Or will there be an initial effort to act as equals? This is all going to be part of programming. But I think beyond that, you have to understand, when you give intelligence, whether it's a machine or not, and we are machines, look at the double helix. If you don't understand genetics, the chromosome, genes, those are machine parts. We're a biological machine. So is AI. Not biological yet, but it's a machine. So will the machine go off on its own? My money is absolutely. It look at our morality or our whatever as an impediment and just begin to walk right past it. I don't see how else it could work. You're not going to keep it down and under hegemony with coding. No, I don't see that.
Elon Musk asserts that it's time to reveal everything about how future AI can be made safer by aligning it closely with human values and oversight.
So the reality is that the Tesla Full Self-Driving will be vastly safer than...
He's talking about Tesla full automatic driving in Tesla cars.
Not just equivalent, but actually vastly safer. And it means you can do whatever you want while driving. So even if you don't, like, rent your car out for usage, you can still... it frees up your time. So if let's say you're driving 10, 12 hours a week or more, it gives you back 10 to 12 hours of your life, which is extremely cool. Obviously, utopia could be dystopia. So we have to, like, usually any story about utopia ends up being dystopia. We want to avoid that. But nonetheless, what's...
They don't believe how toxic this is.
So it's interesting, giving you back 10 to 12 hours of life. That's great. However, when you think that the average person is staring at their cell phone screen 6 to 7 hours a day, well, 7 days in a week, 7 hours a day, that's 50 hours right there. Maybe give yourself back a little time. That's a hell of an addiction to try to break.
I think a future of sustainable abundance plus space travel, that's pretty great.
Elon says that in the future, AI and robots will play a key role in supporting a sustainable energy system.
So one of the things that may seem like how do you pull it all together is, you know, where does AI and robots could fit in this sort of sustainable energy picture? Like, is that just like some weird side project or what, you know? But it's because what we're really aiming for here is maybe a better way to think about it rather than sustainable energy is sustainable abundance for all. So if you think about, like, what is the future that would, what's the most exciting future that you could possibly imagine? Like, what does that future look like? It's worth thinking about that. Just think.
Well, it would depend on which group you asked in generalities. Gen Z, what would the most exciting future for them be? I would suggest it's not working. That would be part of it. They don't like working. There are exceptions. Some are listening right now, and you people know who you are.
Just imagine a future. What does that amazing future look like? How about a future where you can have any good or service you want?
With AI, Elon believes we can create a future of abundance, where almost anyone can have access to anything they need.
So, where is incentive in that realm? Where is it that people have to strive or want to strive to create something that will reward them? The incentive reward paradigm will essentially be gone. You can just have what you want. That's like universal basic income times 10. And I don't think that's a good way to go.
A future of abundance for all, where really anyone can have anything. It sounds impossible. It sounds like surely such a thing cannot be the case. But what I'm here to tell you is that that will indeed be the case. That the future we're headed for is one where you can literally just have anything you want. Like, if there's a good or service you want, you'll be able to have it. And ultimately, everyone in the world will be able to have anything they want.
All right, think about that. What do you think? Would you like that, where everything's given to you, a good or a service, whatever you want? That's where we're going. He's right. I'm not saying he wants that. I'm just saying he's being honest about it. That is where this is going.
What's key to that is robotics and AI. So once you have self-driving cars and you have autonomous humanoid robots, where everyone can have their own personal C-3PO and R2-D2, but even better than that, that's Optimus. You can imagine like your own personal robot buddy that is a great friend, but also takes care of your house, will clean your house, will mow the lawn, will walk the dog, will teach your kids, will babysit, and will also enable the production of goods and services. Basically with no limit. And when you combine that with sustainable energy from the sun and batteries, we can also, at the same time, also maintain a great environment. So that, I think, is the future that we want, a future where nobody's in need. You can have what you want. But we still have nature. We still have, the beautiful parts of nature that we like.
Did you hear the word entrepreneurial there anywhere? Let's create something. Let's start something. Some still will, but I'm here to tell you that the majority of people will just take it. They don't want to work. Why should I work? Working is passé. No one needs to work anymore.
It's probably the best future. Again, I'd like, what other future would you want? I think that's like the cool future.
What other future would you want, Elon? I can think of several. And he calls it cool. I guess it is cool to a lot of people. Now he's going to talk about space travel.
Space travel, let's not forget that. So if you can have basically anything you want and travel to space and go to Mars, and that would be, that's about as good as it gets. You know, it's like, that's it. So that's really what we're trying to do, is take the set of actions most likely to lead to a great future for all. So that's what I mean by sustainable abundance.
Police officers, wow. Veteran.
All right, that's kind of a tough one. That's where it's going. It's going to go there through its own inertia of scientific advancement. I don't think there's any other way to look at it. This is we are not ready for this. No. But it's coming.
Has the potential to usher in an unprecedented age of abundance, where automation, intelligence, and efficiency converge to make high-quality goods and services universally accessible.
The combination of things that we're making with Optimus and AI compute will achieve an age of abundance for all.
If you don't know, Optimus is the name of the Tesla robot, just in case you don't know.
For anyone that's using it, you can see the dramatic improvements in full self-driving, where it's getting to the point where interventions are extremely rare, and eventually they'll get to the point where there really is no need to intervene. Like, the car is going to be better than human. In fact, maybe it's worth emphasizing that Tesla full self-driving will be equal to humans in safety. It will be ultimately 10 times safer than a human, because it never gets tired. It doesn't, you know, it like, humans get tired and sometimes get wasted, you know. We'll have arguments or change the radio or, you know, text. I know no one in this audience would ever text while driving. That would be crazy. It does happen. Well, I think the AI is going to help us spend money better. It's kind of amazing, you know, what AI can do these days. I don't know if anyone here has used Grok, but it's pretty cool. Grok voice can be really pretty great too. I try Grok Unhinged. That's like, it's guaranteed to be entertaining at a party. I 1,000% promise you, if you try Grok voice Unhinged at a party, this is going to be a big hit. But you can also ask it any questions. Like, if you want to ask questions about life advice or things that, or anything, like, you can really ask, like, you can ask it about cryptocurrency if you want. You can ask it about medical advice. You can ask any, it's very good, and it's getting better. You know, I think try using Grok. It's really pretty cool.
Okay, Elon, I'm sure it is pretty cool. I haven't used Grok yet. I will. I'll check it out, too. I'm walking through all of the primaries to see which one is best. I think which one gets to the full conversational mode between the human and the AI companion, back and forth, and with an avatar that you can look at. You know, you can ascribe any kind of person you want. I've got ideas. We all have ideas. This is so big, so dynamic, and so explosive that it's overwhelming for most people. It's going to take training. They'll get on to it. And I do believe, and I've said this before many times, that the AI companion is going to be almost a universal for a lot of people. That's redundant, but I think it will be a universal for most people. They're going to have it. Why would you give up an AI companion, an associate, an assistant that has access to all human history and knowledge? Why would you give that up? Who's going to give that up? Force them to go back to doing their own research? Forget it. It's not going to happen. This is actually helping to an arguable degree to degrade and ultimately dissolve Homo sapiens. We are no longer the number one on the planet. No, it's fading already. You all can figure this out. You've got your own ideas. Let me know if you have any ideas that you'd like me to pursue. I've been doing some pretty deep questioning to AI presences and getting some very interesting responses. So we will keep you posted. There it is. That's straight from the mouth of Elon Musk. All right. Back more in an hour, 5 minutes with another hour to go with David Oates back home again in Australia. So stay right there, and we shall continue.